So we've looked at Habakkuk and hope, we've looked at Haggai and hope, and now we're going to look at Isaiah and hope. But before we take a look at Isaiah, we need to remind ourselves that we are in a spiritual war, that this is very real, and that there are weapons or tools or instruments that will be formed against us. And when we look at Ephesians 6, it tells us, put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. The Message translation says God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. We've heard that already this morning, haven't we? So whilst we have this promise that when we are under the attack of the enemy, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, God has given us a weapon to fight with. His word. And we must be actively engaged with the word of God and praying. And I want to encourage us to take our time praying and engaging with the word of God very seriously, because this is a matter of life and death. Let's keep that time as a priority with him. Let's pray for each other in the battles that we face. How many of you know in our prayer meeting, we pray over our church family. We pray for the strengthening of the spirit. Sometimes we're taking moments in our worship times to pray over one another. And I would encourage you to engage with that and take the opportunity to bless a brother or sister with your prayers. We don't always see the battles each other may be facing or the weapons being directed towards us. So if you're not sure who to pray for, just start with someone and listen to the Holy Spirit. Ask God for discernment so that we can pray for each other effectively. You might not be able to lead worship or get up here and sing or preach, but every one of us can be a prayer warrior. Every one of us can pray for each other. Gwen encouraged me the other week when she shared of how she just woke up praying for someone, burdened to pray for someone. And she was listening to the Spirit, directing her to pray for someone and responding. And I want to encourage us to do that too. Why would the Holy Spirit prompt us to pray for people if there was no power in our prayers? So let's listen, let's ask God, who can I be praying for today? Sometimes we might just need to come alongside someone and stand with them. We don't need to know all of the details of the battles that they're facing, but we can just say, hey, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you every day this week. 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians 10, God has given us tools to smash warped philosophies, to tear down barriers erected against the truth of God, to fit every loose thought and emotion and impulse into the structure of life shaped by Christ, for building lives of obedience into maturity. So God's also given us tools to help us in our own lives, building our lives into lives of obedience and maturity, so that we don't destroy ourselves in our own foolish human nature or through the lies of the devil. And when we look at Isaiah, Isaiah points to God's victory over evil. And Isaiah speaks of the people's rebellion, and he prophesies of God's judgment, and that Israel will fall to the Assyrians and the Babylonians, and we know this happens. And Isaiah speaks of this old Jerusalem, where there is all this corruption, this injustice, this rebellion, and the new Jerusalem, where there is justice and peace for all nations, where God's kingdom is restored through the future messianic king, Jesus, where all nations will come together in peace and all nations will see God's glory. The Bible Project, which is a great resource, which I really recommend to you, those of you that have YouVersion on your phones, if you have a look on the App Store, you'll see a Bible Project app. They also do some reading plans. They also do some really helpful videos on YouTube that explain parts of the Bible. The Bible Project summarizes it this way: through the suffering servant king, God creates a covenant family of all nations who are awaiting the hope of God's justice in bringing a new creation. This is the powerful hope of Isaiah. We see God takes sin and evil very seriously, and evil will be dealt with. God's going to remove all those who pollute the old Jerusalem forever. God cares about his people and he wants relationship with us. And so sin must be dealt with. And we read in Leviticus, in the Old Testament, all these ways that God makes for the people to be made right with him. And Isaiah points to Jesus, the one who makes a way for us to be made right with God. When we get to chapter 49, there is this servant, the Redeemer. This servant that sounds just like the Messianic King in chapters 9 and 11. There is this message of hope. And we read of the suffering servant in chapter 53, who is despised and rejected, pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquities. The punishment for our peace was on him, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was struck because of the people's rebellion. Verse 11 of 53, my righteous servants will justify man, and he will carry their iniquities. He bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. After the suffering servants here, we get to this comfort and hope in chapter 54, this imagery of Jerusalem, who was once a barren woman, but now there will be this restoration. And we read of this future glory. And we get to this verse that many of us love, don't we? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, or no weapon forged against you will prevail. And although many of these promises that we read about in chapter 54, they'd been given earlier, they're now joined to the heritage of the servants of the Lord. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. This literally means every weapon formed against you will not succeed. The word for succeed here, it carries a sense of pushing forward or breaking through obstacles to achieve a goal. And that Greek translation of the word for prosper there also means to have a successful journey or to prosper in accomplishing something. So we can take from this verse that the weapons won't have a successful journey, that they can't break through the promise of God. I'm encouraged by this. They can't break through the promise of God. So the word for word sense in the Hebrew here is every sword or weapon that is formed shall not succeed or prosper or accomplish its purpose. And every tongue that rises in judgment, you shall condemn, rebuke or silence. For before me, your soul is righteous or vindicated. The weapon can't accomplish its goal because God's vindication overrides it. The weapons cannot stop God's saving plan. Our future is secure through Jesus. The weapons formed against us will not ultimately succeed. People can attack us, they can hurt us, they can even kill us, but they cannot stop our future with Jesus. They cannot stop the promises of God. So let's look to Romans 8, because Romans 8, it echoes Isaiah 54, and Romans 8 is going to come up on the screen. Perhaps we could read this together. You want to join me? So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even to point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way! Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threats, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed in Scripture. They kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks, they pick us up one by one. None of this fazes us because Jesus loves us. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us.
Yes.
Attacks may come, but they won't succeed in wiping out God's people or church because we live forever. We'll be with Jesus forever. Oh, but the great Apostle Paul, surely there should have been some miraculous event where he was delivered from death or the persecution suddenly stopped. Paul says here, they kill us in cold blood because they hate you. We're sitting ducks. They pick us off one by one. Isaiah, who delivered this message, he's saying that God says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We believe he was sawed to death by the evil King Manasseh. We've lost people in this church that we love. We might not have seen everyone healed like we hoped. Does that mean that the weapons have prospered? No. Those who gave their lives for God, for Jesus, those who we have loved and lost in the church, they'll be with Jesus forever. And you know, Paul actually says to die is gain, Philippians 1, alive I'm Christ's messenger, dead I'm his prize, life versus even more life, I can't lose. And we have a reward in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, nothing's changed regarding God's promise there and his final victory over evil. And that's the point here, that nothing can change or establish victory over God's promises. No matter how malicious, how clever or crafty, no matter how defeated it seems we may be in this earthly realm. Think of how devastated the disciples must have been when Jesus died. They didn't know the resurrection was coming. They didn't see there was more going on in the heavenlies. And we tend to look at everything in a tangible arena when there's so much more going on in the heavenlies. And even when it seems like we are defeated, there is so much more going on in the heavenlies. The picture is bigger. And this is what Paul understood. Pain, suffering, and death are happening in our world now, but we can put our hope and trust into God's final victory over all evil. We've prayed this morning about the situation with Iran. We're seeing these news of attacks. And as we've discussed, there are many more conflicts happening in our world. We don't always see them in our news. There are people being killed this morning for their faith because they believe in Jesus. We're so blessed that we can meet freely and express our faith in this place. But thank God we know that one day there will be no more wars. There will be no more suffering. That Jesus is coming back. There will be the eschaton. There will be justice, real justice. And there will be this new Jerusalem, this new creation. Thank God we know that should we be in a situation ever where a physical weapon destroys these shells, or we were to be killed like Paul or Isaiah, we have that promise that we will be with Jesus forever, that we will spend eternity with him. No more death, no more suffering, no more tears. Isaiah 65:17. See, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. The sound, and it goes on to say, the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard in it no more. We have this hope to hold on to. God's promises cannot be defeated. In these uncertain times, the promises of God remain certain. And Jesus is coming back. There will be no more death, no more suffering. Yes. Daniel 7:14, he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Revelation 11:15. The seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he will reign forever and ever. And I can't help but want to break out into, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sorry, I'm off key there, but as I was writing this down, I just thought, that is what my dad would do. I just know he would do that, because some of you know he loves Handel's Messiah. If you've never heard Handel's Messiah, you younger ones in here, then look it up. It's a very, very good piece of music. But yeah, he'll reign forever and ever. Evil, it cannot ultimately defeat us. Suffering will happen, persecution happens, death happens, but none of it can undo what Jesus has achieved. Someone rejoice with me. None of it can undo what Jesus has achieved. Later on, in verse 17, the Message translation translates, this is Isaiah chapter 4, an accuser who takes you to court will be dismissed as a liar, or the NIV, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. When the enemy comes to whisper lies in your ear, anyone ever experienced that before? Yeah. You're no good. God doesn't love you. Perhaps someone else's ear against you. Perhaps there's earthly slander that's going on against you, and it's not true. God's promise remains true. He's got you. I'm glad of that today. Romans 8:33. Paul says, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Or the Message translation, I love how it puts it, sticking up for us. This isn't about winning an earthly lawsuit. Sometimes our earthly justice system might even fail us, but this is about God having the ultimate say. God is the judge here. Romans 3 talks about a pure gift. How God is restoring us to where he always wanted us to be through Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, I wish there was someone that was there to stick up for me? Oh, I wish someone could have just stuck up for me there. You know, Jesus is sticking up for us, even though we don't deserve it. But it does require our repentance, us saying sorry to God for all the wrong things that we've done, and receiving him as our saviour. He's not sticking up for everyone. The day will come when we all have to give an account to God. And the Bible shows us that liars will be dealt with severely. Revelations 21:8 says, for them, it's lake fire and brimstone, second death. Psalm 5:6 says, God destroys lie speaker, bloodthirsty and truth bender disgust you. And we know that the greatest liar of all is the devil. Have no doubt that God will deal with evil. Those that don't accept Jesus, that don't repent and accept this pure gift, they will not be in the New Jerusalem, in this new creation, this new heaven and earth. But we know that it is God's will that nobody perishes. We know Peter tells us he's holding back the end. He's holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone to perish. Whilst we are in this period of waiting, we can be encouraged that God has given us everything we need to fight this battle, that God can take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good, and that we're on the winning side. Let's pray. Thank you for your grace and mercy to us, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much that you sent your son to give his life for us, to take on all of our sins so that we could be made free and have the promise of eternal life through you. Thank you, Lord, for your word, our indispensable weapon. Thank you, Lord, for the armor that we learn about in Ephesians 6, that you have given us the tools to fight in this battle, Lord. And we thank you that you are returning and that you will deal with all evil. We thank you for that promise of the new Jerusalem, Lord, that promise of the new heaven and earth. Thank you, Lord, that we can hold on to that promise no matter what happens, Lord, that there will be that time when there is no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. And so, Lord, in this period of waiting, help us, Lord, to stand strong in your promises. Help us to help each other, Lord, as your body of believers. We thank you, Lord, and just pray that you would continue to strengthen us by your Spirit. For it is not by might or by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen.